Why don't you fall to bits?
I don't know. I never have.
I've seen skeletons of birds and things, and they fall to bits.
Perhaps it is because they are what something was, whereas this is what I am.
The apothecary who does medicine over in Chambly's got a skeleton on a hook with all wire to hold the bones together,
said the child, with the air of one imparting information gained after diligent research.
I don't have wires.
There's a difference between alive skeletons and dead ones.
Yes.
It's a dead skeleton he's got then, is it?
Yes.
What was inside someone?
Yes.
Yuck.
The child stared distantly at the landscape for a while and then said,
I've got new socks.
Yes?
You can look if you like.
A grubby foot was extended for inspection.
Well, well. Fancy that, new socks.
My mum knitted them out of sheep.
My word.
The horizon was given another inspection.
Do you know, she said, do you know, it's Friday.
Yes.
I found a spoon.
Bill Dawe found he was waiting expectantly. He was not familiar with people who had an attention span of less than 3 seconds.
You work along at Miss Fitworth's?
Yes.
My dad says you've got your feet properly under the table there.
Bill Dawe couldn't think of an answer to this because he didn't know what it meant. It was one of those many flat statements humans made that were really just a disguise for something more subtle, which was often conveyed merely by the tone of voice or a look in the eyes, neither of which was being done by the child.
My dad says she said she's got boxes of treasure.
Has she?
I've got tuppence.
My goodness. Sal?
They both looked up as Mrs. Lifton appeared on the doorstep.
Bedtime for you. Stop worrying, Mr. Dawe.
Oh, I assure you, she is not. Say good night now.
How do skeletons go to sleep? They can't close their eyes, because...
He heard their voices muffled inside the inn.
You mustn't call Mr. Dawe that just because he's very thin.
It's all right. He's not the dead sort.
Mrs. Lifton's voice had the familiar worried tones of someone who can't bring themselves to believe the evidence of their own eyes.
Perhaps he's just been very ill.
I should think he's just about been as ill as he can be ever.
Bill Dawe walked back home thoughtfully. There was a light on in the farmhouse kitchen, but he went straight to the barn, climbed the ladder to the hayloft, and lay down. He could put off dreaming, but he couldn't escape remembering. He stared at the darkness. After a while, he was aware of the pattering of feet. He turned. A stream of pale rat-shaped ghosts skipped along the roof beam above his head, fading as they ran, so that soon there was nothing but the sound of the scampering. They were followed by a shape. It was about 6 inches high, it wore a black robe, it held a small scythe in one skeletal paw. A bone-white nose with brittle grey whiskers protruded from the shadowy hood. Bill Dawe reached out and picked it up. It didn't resist, but stood on the palm of his hand and eyed him as one professional to another.
Bill Dawe said, "And you are?"
The Death of Rats nodded.
Squeak.
I remember, said Bill Dawe, when you were a part of me.
The Death of Rats squeaked again. Bill Dawe fumbled in the pockets of his overall. He'd put some of his lunch in there. Ah, yes.
I expect, he said, that you could murder a piece of cheese.
The Death of Rats took it graciously. Bill Dawe remembered visiting an old man once, only once, who had spent his entire life locked in a cell in a tower for some alleged crime or other, and had tamed little birds for company during his life sentence. They crapped on his bedding and ate his food, but he tolerated them, and smiled at their flight in and out of the high-barred windows. Death had wondered at the time why anyone would do something like that.
I won't delay you, he said. I expect you've got things to do, rats to see. I know how it is.
And now he understood. He put the figure back on the beam and lay down in the hay.
Drop in any time you're passing.
Bill Dawe stared at the darkness again. Sleep. He could feel her prowling around, sleep with a pocket full of dreams. He lay in the darkness and fought back. Miss Flitworth's shouting jolted him upright, and to his momentary relief